Okay, today I want to talk about a topic. We spoke about this topic last year, the year before, I don't remember, but we want to review this topic from new svarim. Present this from a different sefer, two different svarim which we never used before, so there will be some chidushim. At least to me, everything here is new, and I'm a little bit unorganized, so we'll just try to work through this together to throw out some ideas. We're not going to try to be too precise, just to discuss the inyan in a more general fashion. The topic is lighting a menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. We know that we have the minog, we come to Beis HaKnesses, we light the menorah. The menorah is usually in the front of the Beis HaKnesses, on the right side of the Beis HaKnesses. In some Bate Knesios, they put it along the southern wall. Every shul does it a little bit different. And do you face the olam when you light the menorah? Do you face the front of the shul when you light the menorah? The right side, the middle? There are different customs. But one thing that everyone does, it's universal that everyone today, at least in this community, there is a menorah, Chanukiah, in the Beis HaKnesses, which is lit at night, and in most of the Bate Knesios, it's lit with a beracha. And in most Bate Knesios, it's lit for Shachris as well. And I don't believe anyone would make a bracha in the morning. Could be there is an opinion that says you make a bracha, but we do not make a bracha. The question is, from where does this minhag come from? And even if it is a nice minhag, what gives us the right to go so far and make a bracha? This custom, the halach of lighting a menorah, is in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, and the Gemara is clear as day that it's a mitzvah of ner ish ubeiso. The mitzvah is for the individual to be done at home by the Rosh HaBayis to light one ner for the entire family. If you want to be mahader, then everyone in the bayis shall light one ner. If you want to be mekayim the mitzvah mahadrim and mahadrim, everyone in the bayis will light moisef v'hoylich, peches v'hoylich, everyone. But there is absolutely no mention anywhere in the Talmud, not in the Mishnah for sure, and not in the Talmud, and not in the Rishonim, and not even in the Rambam. Not even in the Rambam is there any zecher that we should light a Chanukiah in the Beis HaKnesses. And certainly to go so far and make a brach in the Beis HaKnesses when every single member of the bayis is lighting a menorah at home, l'choritz mamish a bracha levatala. So where did it come? From where did it evolve, this minhag, to light in the Beis HaKnesses with the bracha? So it is what? It is a major, major mystery. The first source, the first record of this, now what I'm presenting you comes from Rabbi Oberlander Sefer Minhag Avosim Yedeinu. He has a very, very thorough treatment of this sugya. I can't remember even a fraction of what he says. I'll just try to throw out some ideas as they come to mind. And he says the first minhag comes from Rav Haigoin. So Rav Haigoin from the Goinim, we're dealing with time and time, that came before the Rambam, but the Rambam doesn't quote make mention of such a minhag, but Rav Haigoin does make mention that there is such a minhag, and they actually was presented to him as a she'ela question exactly how to light in the Beis HaKnesses. Should they write miyamin l'smol, m'smol liyamin? And it's very interesting, it appears from the writings that there was such a minhag to light two Chanukiyos, to light two menorahs in the Beis HaKnesses for a grand total of 16 candles. And it could be they lit every night 16 candles. Not like what we do today. How the minhag evolved, it's very interesting. So he writes, you should just light one. Okay, it's not really clear. Whatever he tells you how to do it. But that is the first source. And then it's found in the Itur, and then it's found in the Meiri. Okay, so we do find some of the Rishonim already make mention about the earliest sources from the Goinim of Haigon, the Meiri, the Sefer HaItur, and a couple of others. And Agoyis Rabbeinu Peretz, which is also the Sefer Mitzvah Ketana, is another Rishon. Again, we see it first beginning to appear, the Minhag, during the time of the Rishonim. Okay, so what's the reason? So there are basically three primary reasons why, how this minhag evolved. And there are major, major nafkaminas between these reasons. Reason number one is to be, might say, the guests who live in the Beis HaKnesses. In ancient times, we know, as a matter of fact, that the Chazan, the Shamos, the Chazan, there was there were people who lived in the Beis HaKnesses. They were little cubicles along the side of the Beis HaKnesses, and people stayed there permanently, or guests would stay there. And where is this more pronounced, more popular? Because Sadeh Mishnah applies every single Friday night and Mitzvah Shabbos, Kiddush and Havdalah. And there the Shulchan Aruch records that you make Kiddush the Beis HaKnesses to be made to the people who are going to eat the Beis HaKnesses. It will be Kiddush b'mkayim Suda, because the people there, they're always guests in the Beis HaKnesses. They have their meal in the room, even though in the Beis HaKnesses itself, which is not so still because of the Kiddusha, you're not allowed to eat in the Beis HaKnesses, or in the room, the Chatzar Beis HaKnesses along the side. Havdalah, the same exact thing. You want to be made to say the guest. So some want to suggest that since they were guests, and the guests needed to light a menorah, so this was their form of lighting. Now then the question is, but shouldn't they not be lighting on the Pesach of Beis HaKnesses? Since the place to light the menorah is a Pesach Beisai Mibachutz, on the right side, on the right side is the mezuzah, on the left side is the menorah, should they not be lighting along the Rishus Sarabah? Because the purpose of the menorah is to give Persumi Nisa. So they give a very shocking answer, that in ancient times, their rooms did not open up into the Rishus Sarabim. Their chambers opened up into the Beis HaKnesses. These ancient Batei Kenosios, where are they going to light? They're not going to light outside the Beis HaKnesses, because the Beis HaKnesses is not their house. They would light along the opening to their rooms, which open up into the Beis HaKnesses. So once they're going to light along the opening to their rooms, so they just bring it ready. There'll be more persumenisa to bring it into the Beis HaKnesses itself. Okay, it's not a point to go into the details. The main yesod is it's to be moitzei the guests and the residents who are living in the Beis HaKnesses. That's reason number one. And before we go further, what would that tell us? That bizman hazeh, when by and large people are no longer living in the Beis HaKnesses, people live in their private quarters, there's no need anymore bizman hazeh to light a menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, and certainly not to make it with a bracha. And the proof to this is almost all of the new shuls today no longer recite Kiddush Friday night. The old-time shuls are still following tradition. What? Young Yiddish, because they follow the German minhag. The young Yiddish, they follow the German minhag, and it's a yakash nusach. The nusach, the real, and all the young Yiddish say they break all the rules. They do whatever they want. They write their own nusach. They even some daven nusach svart. They probably some young Yiddish the daven nusach svart. But traditionally, the classic nusach of the young Yiddish came from Germany. And in Germany, they follow what it said in Shulchan Aruch, the minhag of sin b'yodeinu. They were guests and they were light. But today, the new Batei Kenosios that are built today, they're not following any particular tradition. They shy away from making kiddush Friday night and Havdalah in the Beis HaKnesses.
How about that Yerem also? Mina Shul also?
They do. I think there's a shul from Rav Moshe. I didn't see it inside. But someone told me that Rav Moshe, they asked Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that if it's a new shul, you should not make Kiddush in the Beis HaKnesses. The old shul should continue doing what they're doing. They didn't make Kiddush? I don't know. The people, they are Bachan, the people who are in the yeshiva, maybe there it's different. This is what I was told that he said. So if that's the case, and the Lani Gnor is just an extension of this, and then it should be the same exactly the Bizman is that we should no longer be lining the Beis HaKnesses, and we should no longer be, at least not be making a bracha. Now, let me just take a step further. You'll say, oh, if that's the case, so let's just light and not make a bracha. So this is a major problem, because many parties can say that it's a no-win situation. If you're lining a menorah, l'chayra, you have to make a bracha. So, So you can't do one without the other. If you're going to light, it's a zilzul. If you're lighting a l'shem, the mitzvah of menorah, Chanukah, it's a zilzul to the mitzvah not to make a bracha. But maybe you're not allowed to make a bracha. Maybe it's a bracha levatola, because everyone in the Beis HaKnesses is going to go home and light at home. So what are you lighting the Beis HaKnesses for? Who are you lighting it for? For the guests? There are no guests. So it's a bracha levatola. So to light without a bracha, it's a zilzul in the mitzvah. So you're really stuck. You're stuck in the middle of nowhere. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place. To light without a bracha is a zilzul in the mitzvah. To make a bracha, what? If you light l'chaora, aura, very good, very good. To light with a bracha might be a bracha levatola. To light without a bracha is a zilzal. So the best thing would be not to light at all. And indeed, some opinions follow this, take this approach. Okay, the second reason why we light in the Beis HaKnesses is a zecher for, it's a minog, a zecher for the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And this is off the charts, this reason. Because when we light at home, we're not doing it for zecher for the Beis HaMikdash. We're doing it to commemorate the miracle, the Chanukah period, the Chanukah period. The Chanukah time, the Yevonim wanted to destroy us, to destroy our spiritual essence. The Hashem allowed us supernaturally to prevail. So, and the miracle concluded with the Hiligu Neros Bechatzos Kodshacha. But we're not trying to copy the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a zecher. We do it at home with a zecher for all of the miracles, including the miracle of the Beis HaMikdash. But it's not a replica of the Beis HaMikdash because the home is not a Beis HaMikdash.
The amount of candles is different than the Beis.
Exactly that, the candles, the time you're lighting it. But in the Beis HaKnesses, being that the Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Me'at, it's a miniature Beis HaMikdash, when you light the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, you are replicating the actual menorah of the Beis HaMikdash itself. If you take that to the extreme, then you should light 7 candles every night, or you should at least light the whole menorah, 8 candles every single day. Think about that. Why are you only lighting these 8 candles? Because it's not Moisif HaHoylech, we're commemorating every single day the miracle got bigger and bigger. This is a replica of the Beis HaMikdash. We're not allowed to. You're not allowed to have a replica of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. It's forbidden. There's only one menorah that has 7 candles. The menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. To make a replica is forbidden. So we're doing a Lezecher, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Not because of what we do at home. So where do you put the menorah? Oh, since the Beis HaKnesses is a replica of the Beis HaMikdash, so put the menorah on the same place where the menorah was in the Beis HaMikdash. Where was it? So the Pesukim say, well, on the one hand it was on the right side, and it was also on the southern side. So, because if when the Beis HaMikdash, you were not facing east, you were facing west. So now there becomes a big question. If we're trying to replicate the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, when you go into a Beis HaKnesses that's facing east, should you put it on the southern side, or should you put it on the right side? So most of the time, the southern side is the right side, but not always. And in a Beis HaKnesses that's facing Doraim, or Beis HaKnesses that's facing Tzofon, or sometimes you have Beis HaKnesses for whatever reason that's facing even Marav for whatever reason. So now there's a very big debate if the reason why you're lighting the menorah is because we want to replicate the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we're now going to put the menorah along in the same place where it was put in the Beis HaMikdash. How do we transplant the Beis HaMikdash? Do we superimpose the Beis HaMikdash into the Beis HaKnesses? Do we focus on the southern side, or do we focus on the right side when facing? So that's a machlokes. That's why there are so many different minhagim. Also, there's another very big dilemma: in which direction did the menorah face? Did it face? I'm sorry, the Beis HaMikdash was on the left side. And the Beis HaMikdash was on the left side. When you faced frontwards in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah was on the left. Yeah. The Shulchan was on the right.
Right.
Was the menorah arranged mitzafon ledarim, or was arranged mitzrach lemarif? So there are many different issues that all comes into play. Okay, now and let's take a step further. If that would be what we're doing, you should not necessarily be lighting every night one more candle. Maybe you should light the whole menorah every single night. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, how many neros did they light on the first night and every night? 7 neros. They lit the whole candelabra. So in the Beis HaKnesses, every single day you should light all of the candles. It's much nicer to walk into a Beis HaKnesses and to see all the candles lit. When you see the menorahs, you only see 3 candles. What happened? They ran out of oil? That's not how you light a candelabra. In the Beis HaMikdash, the whole thing was lit. We can't light 7 because of a 7 prohibition. So you want to use the Hanukkah menorah. So light the whole Hanukkah menorah, all 8 candles. Why only 1 candle? Okay, that's an interesting idea. Obviously, that's not the minhag. The third reason, which is the primary reason, is Pirsumei Nisa. Since the reason why we light at home, we light Al Pesach basically Bachutz on the outside, is people in the Rishus Ram should see what's doing. So here we have to go a little bit further. Here's the issue. Bizman Hazeh, when we are in Golos. It is the minhag to light indoors. Even people who are lighting on a window, that's not the way it's meant to be done. The way it's meant to be done is mi Pesach beisai mi bachutz. Everyone can clearly see your neros. Bishas hasakana manichoi al shulchanoi v'dayoi. Some hold that bizman hazeh, you should still light. You don't have to even put it by the window. You should put it on your dining room table. Being in Golos is in essence sakana. It may be Baruch Hashem we have the police department behind us and we have protection, but that's not real protection. The essence of Golos is sakana. Uvesha sakana manichoy al shulchanoy v'dayei. So no one today in Golos is being mekayim the mitzvah with the full potion, the full degree of persumei nisa. So how then can we be mashlim the persumei nisa? The Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses is the most public place for us possible. So therefore it evolved a minhag to light in the Beis HaKnesses with a bracha to make up for what we're lacking at home. At home we're not doing the mitzvah the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, the way it says in the Gemara, to light al Pesach Beis HaMibachutz with Persumenitza. To make up for that Persumenitza, you have to do it in the Beis HaKnesses. L'mayin afkamin according to this interpretation. Well, according to this interpretation, that's why you would make a bracha, because the bracha really fits, because it's a real Persumenitza. And also, as many poets can say, the place to light the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses is Bo'emsa. Right smack in the middle. Not on the left side, not on the right side, not Doroim, not Mizrach, not by the Pesach. You go to Sunday Batek and you have to look around, where is the menorah? By the way, I've seen that. You go to a shul, it's on the Doroim. Look all the way in the corner, you have to light on the wall that's Doroim in this exact... that's the menorah. I wouldn't even have noticed. Then you're not being Makan, the Persumenisa. The way to Makan, the Persumenisa is when you walk into the Beis HaKnesses, it should be staring at you front and center. And indeed, many parents can say there's no rule of left, right, Mizrach. Put it in the place that is the most noticeable. So, Sach HaKol, these are the three primary reasons. Number one, to be Moitzei the guests. The guests. And therefore, you might see the guests in Achnami Taka, some say you should put it by the door of the shul. Because that's the real place, the Pesach Beis HaMibachutz. If the guests, it's their menorah. So you might as well light in a place where they'll be Yotze, the best they can possibly be Yotze. And someone extend that the people should, not only for guests, this is really a fourth reason, people should be zoriz being mekayim the mitzvah. Not everyone knows that there's a mitzvah of lighting a Chanukah menorah. When you'll come to the Beis HaKnesses and they'll light the menorah, you'll hear the brachos. Oh, you have to make a bracha. There are three brachos, there are two brachos, you light from right to left. It's a lesson in chinuch. It's a lesson in chinuch for people to learn. Now this is very problematic in our day and age, because in our day and age, most of us no longer daven ma'ariv before we light candles. We daven mincha early, we do our thing, it comes, if you're working, when you come home from work, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever it is, whenever you come home from work, you light the candles, whenever you light, did you ma'arif? So you'll either you'll chab me for ma'arif somewhere on the way out of the office, so you'll have a ma'arif later on 9, 10 o'clock, or if you're not working, or you'll light the exact zman, like this little sheet from the Rav Aaron Kotler zman, and Rav Moshe zman, and this one's zman, that one's zman, ma'arif I'll dive in later on. So then the model of coming to the Beis HaKnesses and learning how the menorah is meant to be lit is wasted. Because when everyone is coming to Daven Ma'ariv at 10 o'clock, and you're first learning to know when you Daven Ma'ariv at 10 o'clock, so it's for the next day. That's a good point. Maybe you missed today, at least there'll be a lesson for the next day. So it's problematic. Okay, the second reason is, it's a zecher for the menorah that existed in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not Persumei Nisa. So why then are you saying the brachas? It's very problematic why we make the brachas. Okay, it's all part of the Nes, but it's primarily focused on, it's a time to remember there's a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And the third reason is Persumei Nisa. Obviously, all of these three different ideas do come together, and that is why it is so popular, so prevalent for us, like the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses Beravam, and everyone sees, we do it like the Beis HaMikdash on the Kaisel Doroim to resemble partially the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the bigger issue, now there's a lot more here, okay, the bigger issue is There's another very big, another important, very nafkamina. Why should we light it during the day? What's the purpose of lighting the menorah during Shachris? Every shul, I think, has the menorah lit during Shachris. So if you learn that it's because of a zecher for the Beis HaMikdash, it makes perfect sense. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, at least the Ner Maravi burnt the entire day. And according to the Rambam, they lit it during the day as well. They lit it twice. Not that everyone disagrees with the Rambam, but according to one opinion, they lit it twice. They lit it at night, they lit it during the day. So since the zecher for the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, oh, so it makes sense why you should light the menorah during the day in the Beis HaKnesset as well. But if you learn it's because of the gas, there's really no reason whatsoever why you should light the menorah during Shachris. And what about during Mincha? Or during Mincha as well. So, what about the reason of Pursuma Nisa? Is there Pursuma Nisa during the day? Maybe yes, but maybe not. The Ikar Pursuma Nisa is at night. So what are we trying to do by lighting the menorah during the day? It would appear that lighting the menorah during the day in the Beis HaKnesses focuses primarily on a zecher for the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's an important nafkamina. Now, the bigger issue is, very nice, we're going to do it, we're going to light the Beis HaKnesses, we have three very good reasons, but to make a bracha, ad kidei kach, to make a bracha, especially bizman hazeh when there are no guests, even if we're light, there are no guests anymore, and zeche for the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't say this in the Gemara, persumi nisa, yeah, it's very nice, there should be persumi nisa, but that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah persumi nisa is ner ish ubeso. You want to go and expand the scope of the persumi nisa by also lighting the Beis HaKnesses. It's a beautiful thing, Lubavitch, they light the menorahs all over the world. That's their big thing, Lubavitch. But to make a bracha, who gives you the right to make a bracha? How far can you go to make a bracha? So this is a major sugya. So Baruch Hashem, this year, we have a new sefer was published by Rabbi Baruch Simon, one of the esteemed Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University, Ritz, and he published a new sefer on Minhagim, Toikif HaMinig BeHalacha. We actually went through a number of the chapters in this sefer, and he has one fantastic chapter devoted to this topic on making a bracha on the minug, and about half of the chapter devoted to making a bracha on the minug ties in, is always coming back to lighting, making a bracha in the Beis HaKnesses, the Chanukah menorah. So let me just throw out, since it's a long chapter, a lot of you saw this, just going to throw out some of the ideas. Let me just throw out the variables, and Mufapal and some of the svaras. Some of the variables are as follows. The lighting of the menorah on Chanukah. Okay, that we all know. That's what we discussed. Number two, reciting Hallel, Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh with the bracha. This is a machlokes between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim. The Mechaber paskins, you should not make a bracha when you recite Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. You should not make that bracha. The Ramah says it's our custom to make a bracha. So all here, as most people here are Ashkenazim, we make the bracha, we follow the shita of the Ramah. The Mechaber says, no, you don't make a bracha. Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is a minhag. And on a minhag, you don't make a bracha. This is the shita of the Rambam. The Mechaber is taken from the Rambam. The Rambam explicitly says, don't make a bracha on a minhag. The problem is, we're going in circles a little bit, but the problem is that the very same Mechaber says that when it comes to the Beis HaKnesses, on Chanukah, you should light in the Beis HaKnesses, and you should make a bracha. And it's clear as day, lighting Chanukah candles in the Beis HaKnesses is not a mitzvah derabanan, it is a minhag, because there is no record anywhere in Chazal that you should do this. It's certainly only a minhag, and yet the Mechaber says you should make a bracha. So there's basically a major contradiction in the Mechaber between what he says with regard to Rosh Chodesh and what he says in regard to Chanukah. Okay, what is another major dilemma? Arava. On Hoshana Rabbah, we take the Arava, five branches of an Arava tree, of Arava branch, and we bang it on the floor. Do we make a bracha?
No.
No. You've never heard someone make a bracha on the clapping of the Arava. The Gemara says it's a minog. It's a nagu ha'am, minog nevi'im. Either it was a minog that was instituted by the prophets, or it's a minog that evolved. People themselves did this, but there's no question no one makes a bracha. But it's a pretty significant minog. You know, it's a pretty nice minog. Everyone does this. The whole Klal Yisrael does this. It's a serious thing to do. But no bracha is made. Next variable is the night of Pesach. On the night of Pesach, many people have the custom to recite Hallel in the Beis HaKnesses before you go home and have your Seder. Do you recite Hallel? Yes or no? If you do recite Hallel, do you make a bracha?
Yeah.
Many people have the custom, yes, you recite Hallel with a bracha. But the recital of Hallel on the night of Pesach in the Beis HaKnesses is certainly at best a minhag. There's nowhere, no source anywhere to recite Hallel in the Beis HaKnesses on the night of Pesach. It's a minhag. And yet the Olam, the significant chunk of Klal Yisrael, makes a bracha. So here we have a whole collection of minhagim. These are the main minhagim. How do you differentiate between one and the other? So this is something which everyone struggles with. How do you differentiate? So let me just try to throw out from memory some of the yesodos. The Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, I think it's Rabbeinu Tam, I don't remember where. Rabbeinu Tam, it's a Tosfos, I forgot which Masechta. He quotes it here. He says, a yesod, a minog choshev, you make a bracha, a minog kal, you don't make a bracha. So what does that mean? A minog kal? Banging the arava, he holds, he says explicitly, is a minog kal. What are you doing already? You're taking a branch. You're taking a branch and you bang it on the floor. I mean, you can ask the same thing. You take the dalet min. What are you doing already, right? What are you doing already? You're taking the dalet min and you're shaking them.
Make a bracha on
tashlich? On tashlich, no, definitely not. Definitely not. So that's also a min. Okay, the enechanami. Enechanami. So where do you draw one? But it's his yesod, it's a minog kal. A lightweight minog does not get a bracha. Bagging an arava is a lightweight minhag. You don't get a bracha. Reciting Hallel, he holds. The Rebbeinu Tam says beferish. There are more that says that we make a bracha. The Ashkenazim make a bracha on Chatzi Hallel. Rosh Chodesh is following the Rebbeinu Tam that says explicitly the recital of Chatzi Hallel is a significant minhag. It's something that has weight, even though there's no makar for this, but it's heavy duty. It's a heavy minhag. If it's a heavy minhag, you make a bracha. Chanukah candles in the Beis HaKnesses, according to this line of reasoning, is something which is a heavy duty minhag. He holds it's not a small thing. It's not a small thing that in the Beis HaKnesses there's a menorah and there are Chanukah candles and it's being lit, and therefore it's significant enough of a minhag which it deserves its own bracha. According to the Rambam, you know, the Rambam doesn't make any differentiation. The Rambam says there's no, so you don't make a minig, a bracha on a minig, and it could very well be the Rambam doesn't even record the minig of lining candles in the Beis HaKnesses. It could very well be, according to the Rambam, you didn't do it. According to the Rambam, there's no need to do it. It's, even if it's a minig, you're going to do it, but there's no bracha. I'm not going to even write. What, you're lining a menorah? It's like you go to the store, you go to Duane Reade, and they have a menorah in the window. The Rambam is going to tell you what they do in Duane Reade. Do whatever you want in Duane Reade. You go, they have a Christmas tree right next to the menorah. I'm not going to write this down in my chibur. The Rambam has to go write down every mishigas people do. So the Rambam, there's no bracha. You want to go have a menorah in the Beis HaKnesses, it's good for you. I'm not writing you an hour recording because the Rambam takah holds. The meaning is not significant. That's one svara. Another svara. This is a beautiful svara. Another svar is presented by, it could be the Knesset, it has a lot of different, a lot of them overlap. Another svar presented by the Achronim is, when you have a minog that is an extension of a mitzvah, then you make a bracha. But when it's a standalone minog, which is not built upon the foundation of something else, you don't make a bracha. It's a lot of questions. Therefore, chavata, arava, what are you doing? I'm taking an arava and I'm banging an arava. Who told you to bang an arava? You figured out a chazal, a kabbalah, you bang a arava. You're not expanding on anything that pre-exists. Lighting candles in the Beis HaKnesses is an expansion of what you're doing at home. At home, you're lighting candles and you're making a bracha. There's a mitzvah. There's a real mitzvah to make a bracha. I'm now expanding that. I'm now going to the Beis HaKnesses, and the minig has evolved where we're going to light in the Beis HaKnesses. You're expanding something which has a foundation, you make a bracha.
Foundation is later. It's much later.
But it's built upon a pre-existing mitzvah. The concept is there. Reciting Hallel for Ashkenazim in the Beis HaKnesses, Hallel Pesach night with the bracha, and Chatzi Hallel with the bracha on Rosh Chodesh. It's expanding upon something which exists. You mechuyev to recite Hallel on the 18 days a year. There are 18 days a year. Rosh Chodesh is also a minor festival. It's also a festival of Rosh Chodesh. So you are expanding upon a pre-existing concept. You make a bracha. Chanukah, you're expanding. Lel Seder. The Pesach. It's a day to say Shira. So in the Beis HaKnesses, we'll say Shira again. Oh, you're expanding upon something that exists. You can make a bracha. But when you're doing something that's new, Tashlich, right? A good example. What is Tashlich? What are you expanding upon? You're doing something. Where does it come from? Are you doing this somewhere else where it's significant and now we... No, it's something that stands alone. Chavata. Eating all different types of foods on Simonim and Rosh Hashanah. These things don't have a foundation. They're just new things. Therefore, these type of things you do not make a bracha. A third quick svar is there are different types of minhagim. There are some minhagim which Chazal established and there are some minhagim which people on their own established. A minhag that evolved on its own, that type of minhag, there is no bracha. A minhag which was established by Chazal, which is a concept, which means Chazal were mesakein mitzvahs, and they were mesakein minhagim, which means it carries less weight. What's a nafgamina? It could be that if it's too difficult, you're exempt. A mitzvah, you're not exempt. A minhag, if it's difficult, you're exempt. Something that was established only as a minhag, you make a bracha. But customs which evolved out of people on their own doing, that's already different. Okay, one of the very big issues which ties into a lot of these things is, do you have to, when you make a bracha in the Beis HaKnesses, are you required to have a minyan in the Beis HaKnesses? And this is very common in a lot of shuls. Friday. On Friday, you want to light the candles before you daven mincha in the Beis HaKnesses, and then you daven mincha. You don't have a minyan, you only have 8 people. Can you make the bracha? So it's a very big problem, because since lighting the candles with the bracha in the Beis HaKnesses is a very, there's no makar, it's only a minhag, and pashtus is only because of persumei nisa. So then many hold that you have to have a minyan in the Beis HaKnesses. There should be real persumei nisa when you make the bracha, so it should not be a bracha levato. At home, you don't need at home, it's a halacha. Ishu beso, whether one person or 10 people, but in the Beis HaKnesses, since according to one of the three opinions, the only reason why we make a bracha is persumei nisa, you should need 10 people in the Beis HaKnesses in order to make that bracha. Okay, we'll stop.